Our text this morning is Luke chapter 2, and we'll be in verse 52, if you'd like to open there. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Part of our purpose in being here today is to recognize and honor and celebrate the graduating class of 2020. And if you thought that was going off without a hitch, you haven't been paying attention. These kids came in with 9/11, and they are graduating with COVID-19. And so when we come together to celebrate and honor them, a little natural disaster is pretty much what we expect. We expect some flooding and some power outages, of course, and so that's what we have. God has tested this group of kids so much. I truly believe that he's getting ready to do something special through them. I really do. I think he's going to use this generation to make big improvements in the kingdom of God and in our nation. And I think these tests are designed to strengthen them so that they can get ready for that task. I honestly believe it. And I want to encourage the class of 2020 this morning. I want to challenge them a little bit, and I want to do it with these words. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. There were two parents in their bedroom one night, and they heard this crash in the son's bedroom. They jump up to go investigate. They go into his room. They find him face down in the floor, and he's kind of shaking the cobwebs out. He had fallen out of bed. And Dad said, "Son, what happened?" He said, "I fell out of bed." And he said, "Well, why'd you do that?" And he said, "I guess I fell asleep too close to where I got in." And I can tell you that happens in church. We get people in, they become baptized believers. When they're baptized, they are added to the church, and then they promptly go to sleep spiritually. It happens to too many young people. And too many of our young people, after they become Christians during their teenage years, they fall asleep, and then eventually they fall away. Statistics say that we lose half of our young people after they leave home and leave their home congregation. Half of them fall away from the church. We're going to do better than that because we're going to grow. God demands growth in all Christians. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Growing as a Christian is not an option. It is essential. Jesus says that becoming a Christian is being born again, right? Come up here close. I want to tell you something. Babies are born. Babies are born. And babies have to grow. And if babies don't grow, something is terribly wrong and unnatural about that. Baby Christians must grow and mature. There was a tourist who was visiting some ancient cities over in Europe, and he came to one of these old cities, and he got to the city gate, and there's this old man sitting there. The man just looks old and wise. The tourist says, "So how long you lived in this city, sir?" And the man said, "All my life." Tourist said, "You know much about its history?" The man said, "I know everything about its history." Tourist said, "Well, have any great men been born here?" And that old man said, "Nope, just babies." I want to tell you, no great Christians were born right there. Baby Christians were born right there, only babies. And we come up out of that water, and it becomes our lifelong mission to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are not growing, we are shrinking. If we are not moving forward, then we are moving backwards. God demands growth, and Jesus demonstrates growth. Some people say, well, Jesus, from a historical standpoint, even from a biblical standpoint, when he was 12 years old till he was 30, we've lost him during that time. Those are the lost years. We don't know what Jesus was doing. We know he was in the temple when he was 12 years old, teaching and amazing people. We know when he was 30, he started his public ministry. But we say we don't know what was happening in between those years. Yes, we do. We know what was happening. Between the time Jesus was 12 and 30, he was growing. He was growing in wisdom. He was growing in stature. He was growing in favor with God. He was growing in favor with man. And I want to challenge all of us, and especially our young people, to grow. Number one, grow mentally. Jesus grew in wisdom. Now, wisdom is knowledge of God's word that is applied to everyday life. Wisdom is knowledge, but it's not only knowledge. There are some educated, brilliant, high IQ fools in this world, and there are lots of them. Because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge of God's word, but it's more than that. Knowing God's word is important, but that's only half the battle, right? Wisdom is knowledge of God's word that is applied to the situations and circumstances and problems of everyday life. Jesus learned how to know God's word and how to apply it with everything or to everything that he faced day to day in his life. So wisdom is practical knowledge of God's word. G.K. Chesterton, the famous author, was once asked, if you were stranded on a deserted island and you could only have one book with you, what book would you want to have with you? And he says, Thomas's Practical Guide to Shipbuilding. Get me off this island. That's practical knowledge. And Jesus grew in that practical knowledge, and I encourage our young folks to grow that way too. How are you going to get wisdom? The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, and it will be given to him. Ask God for wisdom. Just say, God, I'm facing a situation. I want your wisdom as I face it. Please, through the name of Jesus, give me wisdom here. You ask. And then you look for the answer. James goes on there in James chapter 1 to say, if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives generously without finding fault. But then the next verse says, but he who asks must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. And so I ask for wisdom, but then I got to expect an answer. And so I look and I listen for that answer. There was a Sunday school class that was praying for a missionary that the local congregation was supporting. And the teacher decided, I'm going to have all the little kids in this class write the missionary a little note of encouragement. So one day they all wrote a little note, and they were going to send it. And the teacher warned the kids and said, now, look, we're going to write him a note, but he's very busy and there are a lot of you kids. So don't expect that he can answer every one of your notes back. OK, we're just trying to encourage him. So they all write the note and they send it. And a little while later, the missionary gets a note and he opens it up from one of the little girls in the class. And it says, dear Mr. Missionary, I am praying for you. I don't expect an answer. And if I ask God for wisdom and don't believe he's going to answer, then I don't look for it and I don't listen for it and I never see it. So ask God for wisdom and don't make these big decisions in your life without the wisdom of God there to help you grow mentally. Number two, Jesus grew, and I challenge you to grow physically. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. That means he grew up and he grew out and he grew strong. I think of Jesus as a strong man. We know that Jesus' earthly father was a carpenter, and we feel pretty confident that he would have taught his son Jesus, we're talking about Joseph, of course, that he would have taught his son Jesus carpentry. And that means if Jesus worked in the carpentry shop, that he picked up heavy things and he carried heavy things and he became a strong young man. We know he was strong enough to cleanse that temple, running people out of there and pushing over tables because they were misusing it. We know he was strong enough to carry that cross beam, which is something like a railroad tie, and they put it on his back after they beat him, after they flogged him, after he had lost who knows how much blood. He was strong enough to carry that cross a long way before he finally gave out physically. He was strong enough to endure the torture of the cross for 6 hours before he died. Jesus grew into a strong man. He grew in stature. Now, the good thing about physical growth, of course, is God's just going to give it to you unless something goes really, really wrong. But you can do some things to help. And I want to encourage our young people, avoid what is harmful to your body and apply what is helpful to your body. Avoid what is harmful. Do you know 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't run right by that. Stop for a minute. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God in the Old Testament literally dwelt or lived in the temple, right? That's where his physical presence was, in that Holy of Holies in the temple. And the Bible says that now in the New Covenant era, God doesn't live in a temple. He doesn't live in a building. He doesn't live at the church house. Now he lives inside the body of a Christian. And if God lives inside this body, if this body is his temple, shouldn't I be interested in some temple maintenance? Wouldn't I want to take care of the temple? Wouldn't I want to keep it up looking good and performing as well as I could? One little boy was asked what it's like to be a Christian, and he says, well, you don't drink or smoke or chew or go with girls who do. And no, there's a lot more than that, but you know he's on the right track. You don't willingly, knowingly do things that are harmful to this temple. And then you apply the things that are helpful to the body. And I can tell you one thing, folks, in working with young people are sleep deprived. Young people don't sleep enough. They don't unplug and get off of everything and get in bed and get their sleep. We all have smartphones in here, and if you're like me, you plug that thing up at night and let it charge all night. And if you don't, what happens? Runs out of gas the next day. It'll shut down on you, won't work. And sleep is the way that we recharge our bodies, and we need plenty of it, especially when we're young. And so we want to be sure that we are making ourselves, and you seniors are going to go where nobody's going to make you go to bed. You got to make yourself get your sleep. And then, of course, we're going to move, and we're going to be active, and we're going to not put a lot of junk in our body. We're going to do that moderately. We're going to grow physically. I want you to grow like Jesus grew. He grew mentally, he grew physically, and number three, he grew spiritually. Jesus grew in wisdom, that's mental growth. He grew in stature, that's physical growth. He grew in favor with God, that is spiritual growth. Now, what is favor? Favor is kindness or generosity or goodwill towards someone. And so by Jesus growing in favor with God, that means that God wanted to give him more generosity and more goodness and more kindness. God tries to favor everybody. God tries to be generous and kind and have goodwill toward everybody, but we can do some things to increase or decrease that favor. And Jesus did things to increase it. He grew in favor with God. God was more and more and more inclined to be gracious and generous and kind to Jesus because of his attitudes and his actions. How do you grow spiritually? You don't have to turn there, but there's a text that is just telling us exactly how to do it in the wisdom literature in Proverbs. Listen to Proverbs 3:4. It says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. That sounds good, doesn't it? So how are we going to do that? Well, we got to back up and look at the verses in front of that. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. How do you grow spiritually? You internalize God's laws. You write them on your heart. And you internalize God's love. You put that on your heart. And when you internalize God's laws and God's love, you are going to grow spiritually. How is it that Jesus never sinned? Jesus never sinned because he spent that time from when he was 12 to 30 growing, not only in wisdom, he knew God's word and how to apply it, but in spirit. Remember when he was tempted after 40 days of fasting and there were three major temptations, and every single time Jesus said, "It is written." He had internalized God's word. He knew it right in here. And he knew how to apply it to the situations that he faced. And that's the result of his growing in wisdom and in favor with God, growing spiritually. And then finally, Jesus grew, and I encourage you to grow socially. He grew in favor not only with God, but with men. People loved Jesus. Bible says the common people heard him gladly. Bible says that kids wanted to come up and just get all over Jesus. Remember the time the disciples were trying to shoo little kids away and Jesus said, "No, let them come. Let them come to me." What kind of personality does a person have if kids are drawn to them? Jesus was popular and loved by the common men. And you say, "Well, now, wait a second. How did he get himself on the cross then?" Well, that was the religious folks, right? I mean, the religious folks couldn't stand him, but the common people loved Jesus. And we need, as best we can, to get the world feeling good about us as people as much as we can. We want to convert everybody, and we've kind of said, you know, if we can just make the right argument, if we can just win the debate, then this church will be busting at the seams because people will come. But there is this emotional component to people, and they just need to feel connected to somebody in here before they're going to come in here. Jesus wasn't that interested in winning debates. A lot of times somebody would try to debate him, and he would just avoid the subject or not answer or tell a story that they didn't understand. You know how Jesus changed the world and built the kingdom of God? He said, "Give me 12 guys, and I'm going to live with them. And they're going to watch me, and they're going to hang on me, and they're going to drive me crazy sometimes. But give me 12 guys, 12 men. And I'm not going to win any debate with them or talk them into anything. I'm going to live with them. They're going to live with me. They're going to see me. We're going to relate to one another, and they're going to go out as they did and change the world." Who are your 12? Who are the 12 people hanging off you that you are in a relationship with and you're using it to bring them closer to God? Jesus grew socially. The common people wanted to hear him and people loved him. And that's how we need to try to grow as much as we can. Minnie Pearl was about to go out for her first performance at the Grand Ole Opry. She was nervous. There was a veteran performer there who saw her case of nerves. And he went up to her and he said, "Honey, just love them. And they'll love you right back." And she said, "I went out on the stage and I loved them. And for my whole career, over all those years, I loved them and they just loved me back." And we got to go out in the world and we've got to love them. And when they sense that, then a good portion of them hopefully will love us back. And then we'll have an opportunity to say, "Now, let me tell you the reason for this love. Let me tell you the one behind it." Jesus grew, and I hope the class of 2020 will grow, and I hope we'll all grow mentally and physically and spiritually and socially. Would you like the favor of God in your life? Would you like God to be more inclined to be generous and kind and have goodwill toward you? You can do something about that. If you're not a Christian, the biggest step you can take is right out into the aisle and right down toward this baptistry, and you can say, I believe in Jesus. I am a sinner, and I'm turning from that sinful lifestyle. I want to be born again. I want to come out of that water, and I want to be determined to grow spiritually until God takes me home with Him. If you're ready to say that this morning, let us know by responding as together we stand and as we sing.